Welcome back to Royals Weekly. I am your host, Marcus Mead, and joining me as always, a man who asked me to ask George Brett when the last time he defecated himself was. Mike, brother, Mike.
We were just joshing around, okay? I would never actually want you to do that. I'm a sophisticated person. You know, I'm not going to ask you to ask George Brett about the infamous Bellagio story that we all know about, but we don't talk about or ask him about. We never do that.
One of these days, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go for it because you know what? I want to hear that story from his mouth. I want to hear it again. And so I got to hear that story. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us. This is a special episode of Royals Weekly coming to you from spring training down in Surprise. We're not in Surprise. We drove to Surprise today to check out all the Royals action on the backfields, on the front fields, on the side fields, all the fields we touched today. It was wonderful. So we're just going to give you a quick 15 to 20 minute report from camp. Make sure you're also checking out the reports that Mike's putting up on our Substack. That's royalsweekly.substack.com. Become a subscriber and you get to see the daily updates that we're putting out that Mike's writing for us. They're wonderful. He did a great job for yesterday and then he's going to do one again tonight. We're going to start today talking about the pitching, because the pitching was not very good today. But first, I want to thank one of our wonderful sponsors, Eric Oxer of West USA Realty. He is a wonderful realtor down in the Phoenix area. If you need anything housing related, long-term rental, buy a house, retirement home, whatever, give him a call at, let me bring up the phone number real quick. Actually, check out his website at ericoxer.com or give him a call. Eric Oxer, spelled E-R-I-C-K-A-U-X-I-E-R. I am having trouble finding his phone number right now. Oh, there it is. Give him a call or shoot him a text at 480-383-9740. Wonderful guy helping us a ton down here in Arizona.
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now, actually. Good.
You are, which is nice for you.
He's so nice for us to host us as well. So
he is not hard to look at. I'm not going to lie. The pitching today was not fantastic. In fact, I would describe it as downright poor, which has basically been the case for the last week for the Royals. Mike, what did you see out there today that might raise some alarm bells for you?
Well, the biggest alarm for me was John McMillan. I don't even know if he got through a full inning. The time that he pitched was not good. Not what we are used to seeing from John McMillan. The fastball velocity was down. He wasn't locating. He was walking guys. He was giving up a lot of hard hit balls. I don't think he ended up giving up a run because he got a kind of a lucky break after he loaded the bases, got a ball hit right back to him and got an out at home. But it was not good. It was not what we wanted to see from John McMillan. Now, on top of that, Angel Zerpa, the starter for the game, also looked very un-Zerpa. You know, he walked a couple guys. He gave up two big home runs and just wasn't himself today. It looked like maybe his velocity was down just a tick, at least at the beginning of the game, too. So overall, it was bad. I think you and I were trying to figure out who the best was, and we had to kind of settle on Sam Long, who looked okay, but didn't look dominant either. And so it wasn't a good day. Yesterday, we had James MacArthur to kind of lean on after Brady Singer had his tough day, but pitching struggled heavily for the Royals today.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit worried about the McMillan thing, although he is coming back from injury. And so maybe he's just ramping up, gaining arm strength. And that is why the velocity was down. But when I say it was down, I don't mean he was throwing 95. He would have hoped to touch 95 today, at least on the stadium gun. He had a lot of 92s, a few 94s. That's as much as I saw it top out at today. And John McMillan is not the pitcher that he was last year if he's only throwing 92 to 94. And so hopefully this is just the beginning of him ramping up velocity-wise. The curveball still looked good today. There were guys swinging and missing at that. The command of it wasn't great all the time. But like I said, he is just ramping back up for the first time. And so, you know, if camp ended today, I seriously doubt John McMillan would be on the roster. But he's got a couple more weeks to gain strength and look a little bit better to make a vie for what is really only one probably available spot in the bullpen. And so, yeah, you were right. He did not look great today. Zerpa, it was one of those bad outings, didn't have as good stuff, didn't have as good command. I don't love it because I'm like sort of vying for him to at least make the bullpen as a long relief guy, a bulk guy, a swingman. But hopefully he can sort of bounce back as time moves forward because I just think he can be really effective in that role. And you'd love to have him there as another lefty in the bullpen as well. And so, yeah, I'm still encouraged. I still have a lot of faith in Zerpa, but his strongest outing today. Hoping the pitching will pick up. Mike, do you think this is just a process of where they're at in camp? I mean, you and I have talked a little bit about the notion that sometimes this is when guys start to get dead arms or they start to take a step back a little bit. Do you think this is just a function of where we're at in camp right now?
Mostly, yeah, for the most part. Now, the McMillan thing just flat out worries me because he's coming off injury. And we didn't get a whole lot of information on what that was or the extent of it. And so, of course, I'm scared about John McMillan. For most of the other guys, I think it's just kind of a process of where we are. Yes. I think two things. Yes, you know, you're getting into that time when starters are especially trying to be stretched out a little bit more. And so they're going to be a little less effective. And then I think the bats have caught up. Like, I think the bats are now warm and ready to go. So you better be on top of your shit if you're throwing the ball. And some guys just aren't yet. And that's okay. So it doesn't surprise me that they've hit a patch here where the pitching doesn't look great. Would I prefer that it look great? Of course. Would I prefer that Brady Singer not gone out yesterday and looked the way that he did? Yes. But, you know, it's, I think it'll still be okay. I think those guys are still finding it towards the end of spring training here. Now, if this is what we're saying in 2 weeks, it's going to be more scary. But for now, I'm not too worried.
Yeah, I'm not too worried either, especially if I need physical therapy, because you know where I'm going, Mike?
Oh, I do. All in physical therapy. All in physical therapy, baby. Go see Tommy.
If you need any physical therapy, check out All In Physical Therapy at allin-pt.com. That's allin-pt.com. They do wonderful one-on-one physical therapy. A lot of places you don't get the one-on-one experience. You're doing it with groups and things like that. All In gives you one-on-one physical therapy to meet your specific needs. Again, tell your doctor you want to work with All In Physical Therapy and give them a look at allin-pt.com. While the pitching was not great today, the offense was, once again, pretty good. I mean, they put up 9 runs today. They ended up losing 12-9, but they put up 9 runs, and a lot of that was on some really good hitting by the guys we're counting on to be a big part of the offense. Salvi had a good day today at the plate. Drew Waters had a good day at the plate. Bobby Witt Jr. smashed 2 balls today at the plate, had a double and a single off those. Isbell had a couple hits today. Frazier looked pretty good at the plate today. And so, Mike, what are your thoughts on seeing the guys that we need to be hitting in the middle of the lineup?
It was fantastic, especially when you take into account yesterday and how well other guys like MJ Melendez look, who didn't play today. Nelson Velasquez worked a walk today. It was just really kind of the last 2 days from guys we expect to be regulars. We've seen them hit the ball and hit it really well. Nick Prado had another big day today after having a good day yesterday. And so I say another big day. He had a really big hit in that first or second inning. So yeah, it was really good to see. They are on it. I'm loving it. I mean, every time Bobby Witt Jr. gets up there, I expect him to hit the ball the hell out of it. And he did today. And it was really good to see. Salvi looks, you and I said this, Salvi looks to be moving a little bit better. He looks, we knew he was probably came in a little lighter, lost a little bit of weight, but he looks like he's moving around the bases a little bit better. And so that was good to see him get a big hit there. He knocked in a run, I think. And so, yeah, it was good. And Drew Waters, I mean, he was a man on a mission today. He was killing the ball. He stole a base. He was really after it. So it was good to see the offense get going in a day when the pitching really needed some hitting to make them not look so bad.
Yeah, not only did Salvi get that hit in a way, driving a run there, you'll remember in one of the big innings that they had early in the game, he beat out a double play, essentially. So he was up. Bobby Witt Jr. had hit a single right before this. Salvi hits a kind of a chopper to third base, and Bobby Witt Jr., as fast as he is, beats it out to second. And so he beats the first leg of the throw to second base, gets called safe, but they try and turn it to first anyway. And normally you'd think, well, they might get Salvi. He's one of the slower players in the league. He beats it out to first, right? Because he's moving pretty well. I like the way he's moving out there. I like the fact that he's slimmed down a little bit and maybe has helped his mobility and hopefully will help him over the long course of the season. I think you and I are both of the mind that he probably shouldn't catch north of 130 games anymore. I would like to see him more in the 110 game range and then give something like 50 starts to Freddie Vermin. I think that if you have a strength in a backup catcher like Freddie Vermin, you lean into it. And so I'd like to see Salvi 100 to 110 games. and then he plays some first base sometimes, maybe in DH sometimes. I think that would go really well for him. But it is nice to see the offense at least putting some things together. And I mentioned Adam Frazier especially because he hasn't had a hot spring up to this point, but he hit well today. He put together some good plate appearances today, but he also played really well at third base. And so he played third base today. One of the questions you have about an Adam Frazier is, does he have the arm to play at third? He hasn't played a ton of third in his career. What's that going to look like? He looked really good at third base today, making a lot of plays that he needed to make, coming in on balls well. I think he's got the mobility and everything like that to do it. Yeah, if one is hit deep into the hole, like, or deep to the third baseline, is he going to be able to go over and like grab it and throw it all the way to first? Maybe not. But he's going to make a lot of the plays in terms of range that you need him to play over there. And it's great to have him as an option both at second now and at third and probably in left as well. And so it was nice to see him take care of business at third base today. You know who also takes care of business, Mike?
Who be taking care of
business? A guy who manages people's finances. What company is that?
I think it's J.C. Knapp, you mean? Maybe old J.C. Knapp, Knapp Family Knapp. Wealth. Is that what we're talking about?
Of Knapp Family Wealth. That is who I'm talking about. If you need your finances taken care of, it's J.C. Knapp of Knapp Family Wealth. Give him a check. Give him a look at knappfamilywealth.com. That's K-N-A-P-P, familywealth.com. Investment management, retirement planning, education planning. The guy knows how to take care of people's money. We also got a look today at a lot of minor league stuff because Mike and I spent a very long time, an extended period of time on the backfields, just watching minor leaguers play. We had an Asa Lacy sighting. He's out there. Didn't get to see him pitch, but he is out there, right, doing stuff. Saw Blake Mitchell in the cage, saw Austin Charles in the cage, saw a bunch of guys fielding, Rocafort, Nivens. We saw almost all of their minor leaguers we looked at today on the backfields. Mike, what stood out to you about what we saw on the backfields among minor leaguers today?
I'd say the first thing we have to talk about is Blake Mitchell. Blake Mitchell took rounds of BP and it was like appointment viewing. People stopped what they were doing when they heard what was happening in that cage. He was crushing the ball and it really stood out in the group. He hit with all catchers and it was completely different when he stepped up there to hit. It was crazy. He put several balls out. That's not to say he was perfect. You and I noticed he's got a pretty wide stance. He takes a stride as well with that. And so he did struggle a couple times. It almost seemed like when things were outside, he struggled and would pop them straight up into the net. And so I think he may end up working on that stuff. But the power was unreal to watch Blake Mitchell hit that ball. It was the most impressive round of BP that we saw today, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's what's interesting is the power was loud and it was obvious, but it's power that's loud and obvious from a 19, 20-year-old. This may not be the ceiling of his power, honestly. Like, and he was putting balls out. He was putting balls off the wall. He was hitting them hard, and you could tell. I mean, it was making a different sound than every one of the guys he was hitting with. And so, yeah, it was great to see that level of power from Mitchell. You're right. The contact issues, you can very easily tell where they come from when you see him swing because that stance is super wide. Think Jeff Bagwell. Up there at the plate, left-handed Jeff Bagwell.
Maybe not quite Bagwell, stance. But it's close. Yeah. And Bagwell didn't take a stride. Yeah. By the time he strides,
he's Bagwell wide. And that will sometimes make it difficult for guys to adjust on pitches that get thrown to him. And if you can't adjust when, you know, a lefty's trying to throw you a breaking ball on the outside, that makes it a lot harder to get contact on it and put it in play. And so you can see where some of that comes from, but it wouldn't shock me if they make an adjustment on that over time, if he finds a way to sort of adjust his approach to make sure he's, you know, not swinging at certain pitches that are going to be hard for him to make good contact on. But yeah, it was great to see that from him. Hopefully get a chance to see him catch a little bit while we're here. We're going to a minor league game on Friday, and so I don't know if we'll get a chance to see him there or someone else, but it was great to see him.
Yeah, it was really cool to see the adjustment in Austin Charles' swing as well. His swing seems to have smoothed out quite a bit from what we saw last year. When we went last year and watched him, we watched him take a lot of BP last year, and I went I was a big fan of his coming out because he was so athletic and so big, but I was worried because his swing did not look good last year. It looked very choppy, very not. It looked like a tall guy who wasn't that coordinated, but I know he's a good athlete. And so it looks much better now. That was really good. Saw him especially to the pole side, show some power. He even, I think he hit one out to the opposite field too at the very end of his one of his sessions. So that was really cool to see. Carson Rocafort really hit the ball well in the air. I liked what I saw from him. He's a guy that I have a lot of belief in as well. And then, you know, give your impression. How did you think, and you said you wanted to see this, how did you think Trevor Warner looked at third?
Yeah, seeing Trevor Warner play third base and take infield was my number one priority today. And my number one priority down here generally was to see him field. And I was happy with it. I think there's a ceiling there that's not going to be above anything that's, you know, he's not going to win a gold glove at third base, okay? Because he just doesn't have the type of sure hands, the type of arm accuracy and things like that that you would really need. And the type of, to win a gold glove at third base, you probably need some serious lateral quicks. He has good lateral agility and good quickness and really good feet. Like, he is much more nimble on his feet than you would imagine a dude who's 6'4 and 225 would be. And so that was great to see, because I think it's going to make him capable around the bag, capable moving to his left and right. And that means that, you know, I think he's going to stick at third. Will he ever be a gold glover? No. I think the ceiling on him defensively is probably a slightly above average, but most likely he gets to average at third base, and that's totally fine. If he's going to hit as much as he did last year, that's fine, right? He had a few throws that needed to be dug out today, and arm accuracy has been somewhat of a concern of him, of his. So hopefully he can straighten that out. But I am no longer overly concerned about his ability to actually pick it over there at third. I think he's going to be fine there.
Yeah, I agree. I think he'll be adequate and good enough if he hits the way that we think he's going to hit to play third base in Major League Baseball. I want to mention one more thing just so that the fans kind of know, like, get an idea of how this is working when they're taking BP, and that I really liked it was, one, they were taking BP off machines, and I think they do that a lot more now than probably they did in the past. And two, they are very intentional about talking to them about what their approach is going to be based on the situation that they're setting up for them. And that was something I didn't honestly really even know myself, is that they were straight up telling guys, hey, this is the situation we're laying out for you. There's one out and there's a guy on second base. And then they're telling them basically to adjust their approach based on that situation. And they expect them not to swing at certain pitches and to swing at other pitches because of that. And that was just cool for me to see, like, okay, this is an actual process that they're teaching these guys. They're teaching them, hey, your approach is going to change based on the context of the game. And, you know, we want you to have your base approach, and, you know, you're not going to swing at bad pitches and things like that. But we really want you focused in on these type of pitches in these type of situations. And I just love that. I love the specificity of that type of coaching.
Yeah, and you could see that we saw numerous moments of times where coaches take the time to step out and say to a group of guys or even one guy, like, here's a teachable moment for you. And they're taking that and they're teaching them. And so got to see quite a bit of that. Got to see some pop-up priority that was really important. It didn't always look smooth in pop-up priority, but, you know, that's what they need to work out. You know, make the mistakes here, grow and learn from them. And then we will hopefully see some better fielders as we move forward. Mike and I will go back out to, where are we going to tomorrow, Mike?
Salt River Stadium.
Salt River Field, Salt River Stadium.
Yep.
To watch the Royals play the Rockies tomorrow. We'll do an off day so we can just play golf and hang out with some people down here on Wednesday. And then Thursday morning, we will come out with our midweek episode for Royals Weekly Substack subscribers. So go over there and subscribe to Royals Weekly Substack, royalsweekly.substack.com. But we'll keep coming back with more daily episodes as we cover things here in spring training. Until then, be good to each other.
And go Royals.